from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm John Sepulveda. Thanksgiving kicks off the holiday season when people reconnect with loved ones for fun times that, well, can be unlovely and unfunny. Parents who pry into your private life, partners who tell offensive jokes, I've never done that, and problems like this one.
I need help talking to my dad. He's pretty old school. We have very little in common, and I'm not sure whether I should give up or keep trying to make a connection.
I can't answer that, but on the next Hour of Forum, we're going to hear from people who can. Your awkward moments, we try to solve them. Stay with us. Welcome to Forum. I'm John Sepulveda in for Michael Krasny. Many of us spend the holidays seeing people who are easier to love in theory than in practice. From sitting next to your nosy uncle to meeting your daughter's girlfriend, there is serious potential for things to get awkward, if not dangerously offensive. In fact, with a real-world example of that, we're joined by KQED's Kate Wolf. And Kate, I want to start with, you have an issue regarding your family and an activity that they do. Tell us about this.
Yeah. So every single year, my family goes to our family friend's house for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And before the big meal, a few hours before, we always have this big flag football game. And it's always a mess. And my mom and I are trying to get out of it this year, and we just don't know exactly how to go about getting out of it.
Why do you hate flag football? And what makes you so un-American?
I don't think I'm un-American. I'm just not great at it, and I'm not very coordinated, and it's just an embarrassing 2-hour-long ritual.
And I imagine that your dad and his friends are the ones who kind of initiated that. I'm guessing. I'm being generous.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And so what? And just before we go to Amy Dickinson to get her advice on what to do about this, what position do you play? And have you ever scored a touchdown? Do you get to spike the football?
I do a lot of running around, and I don't do a lot of any time with the ball in my hands.
And what, in the past, just so we can give Amy Dickinson all the information she needs, have you tried to get out of this before?
We spend some time on the sidelines, but then it's always like, girls, get in here, you know, you got to come play, and we get in it, so.
It almost sounds like they want affirmation for what they're doing through your participation.
Could be that, exactly. Mm.
Well, let's get some advice from Amy Dickinson, who is the author of the syndicated advice column, Ask Amy. She, of course, is heard on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me all the time. Amy, what should Kate do? How do we get her out of this flag football game?
Okay, Kate, what you want is a sling for you and some crutches for your mom, and you're just going to show up, you know, on the injured roster. Just fake it.
Incredible.
And sort of make a joke out of it and go like, we had tried and tried to get out of this, and this is our last gambit. But what, I actually love the idea of doing things outside on Thanksgiving Day, and I think it's really cool that there's a large group doing this. But I also like the idea of people sort of feeling like they have the freedom to choose what they want to do. So maybe you and your mom could choose a different project where you're a little bit out of sight but can appear maybe with, you know, orange slices or, you know, a way to participate but not play. Yeah.
The typical. Now, I want to give our listeners and Amy just some, because Amy is joining us from another studio, some idea of just how tense and upset these activities can make people. Kate, you were literally just biting your sweater while you were listening to Amy talk about it. I know, right?
Thank you for the advice, Amy. I appreciate it.
I just real quick, if we're going to go the injury route, Emmanuel Hapsis, who is the senior editor and writer of KQED Pop Host of the podcast. I'll get to that in a second. What is the injury we should say that Kate has sustained if we're going to take Amy's advice?
Well, what's been helping others in the nation, we won't say who, bone spurs, you know, that helps people. I was thinking crutches, but if that doesn't work out, you could always take a knee. What could go wrong? I don't know.
Perfect.
Or you could just go the Pepto-Bismol route. Just be like, you guys don't want to know the details, but I'm carrying around this pink bottle, and it's not pretty down here, so I'm not going to be tackled or tackle right now.
For more insight like that, you can, of course, listen to Emmanuel on KQED's pop culture podcast, The Cooler. I wanted to make sure I get that plug in. I'm sorry about that, Emmanuel.
Yes, thanks.
Yeah, Pepto-Bismol, that sounds good. I want to hear now from Amy Miller, the comedian and host of Who's Your God? Amy also joining us from studio. You heard all this. Amy, what do you think?
Truthfully, I would just start in the morning with a strong eggnog, and then by the time football started, let them know I was too drunk to play. What are they going to say?
Fair enough. We want to hear your problems. You can call us at 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. Here's the deal. You tell us what thing you are dreading, what interaction you're dreading, what activity you're dreading, something you don't want to do or you need advice on doing, and we will hear from our panel of all-stars. Kate, how did this work out for you? Do you have a lot of advice? You can go Pepto, crutches, take a knee. Get drunk.
I'm set. I've really got a lot of options. I'll consult with my mom. I'll get back to you guys next week.
I feel like you should combine the brain trust here and start off by getting drunk, hurt yourself. Then if you
a
drink
a combo
enough.
Of all of it.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. Amy Dickinson, I want to go back to you. Tell us about an awkward time that you've had with your own family and what you did.
Oh, well, gosh, can we just go
we can start at the very beginning.
Last year?
Oh, okay.
No. I actually come from a large family, and then I married into a humongous family. My husband has 12 siblings. So, and we faced the very sort of typical political divide issue over the last several years with members of my, and it's really tough when you're dealing with in-laws because, like, I don't want to engage in, you know, heated political discussions at Thanksgiving with my in-laws. I just don't want to do it. So, So here's what I do.
Okay.
I love being around kids, young kids at Thanksgiving, and I usually, they come in very handy. I use them as human shields, basically. When things get tough, I will grab a five-year-old and go like, hey, let's make a centerpiece, or let's help with the dishes, or, you know, I find ways to just exit. That's what I do. It's chicken, but it works for me. This year I may have to come out, you know, just to, even though I'm not gay, but I may have to just plan that in order to distract everybody from politics. I don't know.
Do something very dramatic to get people's.
Or get somebody else. Yeah.
I want to go to Amy Miller now. Amy, first of all, it's great to talk to you again.
You too. Hi, John.
Hi, Amy. So I know that some in your family, based on your comedy and things you've said here and there, don't always share your outlook. Tell us about an awkward moment you've had with the holidays. And just limit it to one, please.
Oh, okay. Just limit it to one. I mean, there have been so many. My siblings have been sharing stories with me today. I think my favorite of the morning was that the Thanksgiving when my sister invited her best friend over and they were preteens, and my grandpa gave her friend two stickers, one for each of her boobies. And yes, he did put them on.
What?
I mean, you asked me for an awkward moment. What were you expecting from my family? This is number one of hundreds.
Okay. Well, Amy, it's great to have you on.
Not exactly political, but
I don't know. What did you? So what happened? Like, how? That sounds awful. For what was done to anything?
I don't know. I mean, what do you do in that scenario? He's an old man. You just kind of have to walk away and then remember it for the rest of your life.
Emmanuel Hapsis, hopefully it wasn't as perhaps traumatic as that one. Tell us about an awkward family moment you've had.
Yeah, how do I follow up booby stickers?
You don't.
That's going to be hard.
Yeah, you don't.
The first thing that came to my mind was the year was 1998. Mm-hmm. My dad had just purchased a camcorder. He was very proud of it. Okay. And when he wasn't around, I decided to do what all 90s kids would want to do with a camcorder, which is pretend you're on the real world and like do a confessional and say like, I'm not here to make friends and things like that. And then I graduated to my magnum opus. I had my little sister be cinematographer for a music video of Monica's Angel of Mine, which I performed on my parents' bed. I was emoting like crazy. I thought it was poignant. I thought it was beautiful, inspiring. Until Thanksgiving, a few weeks later, my dad is showing his camcorder off to his friend and he presses play. And the Angel of Mine music video that I was so proud of comes on. And these two immigrant men from Greece, very traditional, watch this, you know, can...
Go ahead.
I was going to curse.
Oh, no, yeah.
This very gay person emoting like crazy to tender R&B, and they just sat there in silence, and I was behind them watching them watch it, and we all just agreed never to discuss it again, and I should probably go to therapy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Actually, you know, this is Amy D weighing in. One thing we all have in common is that these awkward moments often make for such memorable times. It's sort of going back to the movie like A Christmas Story, where everything goes wrong and it's the most memorable time you've ever had. So if you can just figure out a way to laugh about this stuff, it can actually make for some decent memories.
And it makes therapists a lot of money.
So yeah, much good. Money. So much money. 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org. We're going to go now to Sarah, who actually has some advice for Kate. Oh, actually, let's go to Brian first. Brian, share with us something about a hard conversation you've had to have.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like last year, I kept hearing about these kind of conversations about the dreaded Thanksgiving, you know, day conversations around the table. And I was like, oh, that's not my family. I don't have to worry about that. So anyway, last year, I decided to do this video art installation to promote gun control. It's called If I'm Next. And both my sister and my brother are gun owners. And so, you know, I was kind of sharing the project with them, and it just blew up into this monstrous argument. I got thrown out of Thanksgiving dinner.
And, like, right there on the scene, they just, like, told you to get lost?
Yeah, it was, like, really bad. It's never happened before in my family. And I didn't even get to enjoy the Patti LaBelle pie that I brought. And so I was wondering, and this year I did not get an invitation. And I was wondering if I should just show up.
Mm. So, well, Brian, this is Amy. Can I just weigh in here?
Yeah, for sure. Go.
I have to ask you, what were you expecting?
Just casual conversation about, what, you know, like my passion about, you know, like I think something needs to be done. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to be deep, but they really felt like it was threatening their safety by me doing a project to, you know, promote gun control. And I had no idea they would be so passionate about it. And
well, how it was received, obviously, like, there are going to be folks who, it could be small things. I've seen, you know, families who are in the same political party get really exercised in the Bernie versus Hillary debate of 2016, if they're Democratic. I want to talk, though, about the thing that Brian has done that is probably the result that can bring the most shame of anything, which is the exit. So let's say that things have deteriorated to the point where you did not follow our expert's advice and you are being asked to leave. I'd like to hear from each of you, Emmanuel, Amy, and Amy, about the best way to make an exit like that. And I'll start with Amy Miller, put you on the spot.
I mean, the best way is you gotta grab some stuff. I hope he took the pie, you know. You don't want to go hungry, that's for sure. That's number one. Maybe take a bottle of rum and the pie. There's a lot of drunkenness in my Thanksgiving stories.
It almost sounds
That's a tough situation, but I would say, Brian, just keep in mind, you know, the only thing that can stop a bad brother with a gun control agenda is, I'm sorry, I'm stopping now.
Emmanuel, make the exit for us.
I love the strategy of taking all the booze and food. You could also pull out the Pepto again, you know. Whatever.
This is sponsored by Pepto.
Yeah, if you didn't know. Or you could just say, you know what, I have really pressing things to do at home. Charmed is not going to watch itself. There are 8 seasons. That's a lot. I need to catch up.
Amy Dickinson, what would you do? How would you make this exit?
Well, honestly, I agree with Amy. I think if you're asked to leave, then you go big and go home. Like, I love that. Take everything, like, you know, like, clear off the table, grab a child, get the dog. You're like, get it all. Take it all.
Take their guns. But you should have just taken their guns.
Take their guns. But if you are the one that, and I love this, and honestly, this is for real and serious, I always drive separately to every holiday meal, because sometimes I don't want to make a big deal, don't want to make a scene, but I do want to go to the movies. And so I will very quietly exit. And in a large group, you can just go, oh, look at the time, and just, you know, just leave.
You know, what's interesting is the same thread I'm hearing is almost like a Jerk style, you know, the movie The Jerk, where Steve Martin is leaving and he's grabbing the all I need is this lamp and all I need is this spare child and this bottle of rum as you make the exit. We're going to go down to Sarah in San Carlos, who actually has advice for our very first contestant in this game, I guess, Kate Wolf, of KQED. Sarah, what do you want to say to Kate?
Hey, thanks. I was thinking about the football game, and I was thinking that what she and her mom should do is say, if you want us to play, then we'd like to be the quarterbacks.
Nice. I like that.
I mean, you know, they need to find ways that the game is fun for everyone, not just put them in a peripheral position. And if it's hard, I was not a sporting person as a young person. Somebody can help them with being able to throw better. That way they get some time with the hands on the ball, and they're not stuck in a corner just running around doing nothing.
Yeah, that was what Kate, it almost reminded me of, just like one of those like wind-up football players that we used to see that just kind of goes in a circle. Sarah, have you ever had your own awkward moment, or do you have any awkwardness in your own life when it comes to the holidays?
Oh, sure. I mean, we have lots of different opinions in our family, and usually what we do is we just avoid the things that are unpleasant to talk about because we want to make sure we're spending time being together.
Sarah, thank you so much for the call. I wish you the best Thanksgiving of your entire life this next Thanksgiving. Emmanuel, let's talk a little bit about that, and let's listen to our panelists here. The idea of avoidance, what's the best strategy? You see a conversation's going away you don't want to. What are some things you could do to immediately avoid said conversation?
I like to always be cooking something, like a pie or whatever it is, so that when things get weird, like say someone says something racist, then you're like, pause that thought. We'll come right back to it. I need to check on the pie, and then you just never return. But in the current climate, I've kind of changed my motto of keep it festive. And now I feel like there's more of a moral obligation to confront these things. So this Thanksgiving might be a little more difficult, just like last one was, because we can't just let these things go unchecked because that makes it seem like that's okay to say. So, yeah, it's hard to decide when to ignore and when to engage.
And I know, Amy Dickinson, you were talking about, you know, using small children as human shields as a way to kind of deflect. But to Emmanuel's point, and a little bit more serious, I mean, there are many people who feel that part of the issue when it comes to some of the racist, xenophobic, bigoted opinions we see is that even at their own tables during the holidays, people won't confront them when they raise their head.
Okay, here's what gets me about Thanksgiving. We, especially the host of the meal, spends all of this time preparing the food, and then everyone just sits down. Like, I think if people even put a little bit of time into sort of planning the event, there are ways to sort of change directions. I love the idea of starting the meal with going around the table, having everyone, including the children, the old people, everything, say, what's the best thing that you did last year? This is a great way to avoid politics. It also gets – your cousin might mention an accomplishment you didn't know about. It can start conversations. Another thing I love is to ask the older people at the table for their first Thanksgiving memory. I think this is a great way to get people sort of – more engaged in the holiday itself and a little less in the open-ended, because when you leave things too open-ended, that's when, like, the racists dive in. You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
no, in the ambiguity
is where...
It's a way to
sort of direct and deflect, yeah.
Amy Miller, I know, though, too, that not every family is going to want to change their tradition. I'm thinking of the things you've told me about your own mom. How would your mom respond if you were like, tell me about your first Thanksgiving?
I think she would tell me. My mom's got some pretty excellent stories, as you can imagine. A very checkered past in her family as well. So I don't know. I mean, I've never asked her that question. I would love to. I like that technique of focusing on positivity and stories rather than, I mean, I don't know. Some of us have been quarterbacking our racist relatives for many years, much longer than 2 years ago. So, yeah. You know, it's a lifelong job.
We're going to go now to Janice in San Jose. Janice, what is your potentially awkward or embarrassing moment with the ones you love? Janice, are you there?
I had a really awkward situation with my father many years ago, where he started telling really inappropriate jokes at Thanksgiving, and it turned out that that was the first symptoms showing for Parkinson's-related dementia. Mm. And so just kind of a reminder out there, if you do have that really awkward older relative, that as a family you may want to kind of pool your, you know, resources and see if you can kindly figure out how to do a screening if that's a recurring problem.
You know, that's a really good point. That sometimes I actually had something very similar when I used to be married. That didn't work out. Talk about awkward family moment. But my father-in-law went into a restaurant and started saying some horrendous things to the people who were waiting tables, and it turned out that that was a sign of something very similar. So Janice, thanks for that. Emmanuel, any advice you might give to people? I know this has kind of put you on the spot, but a much more serious endeavor.
For this particular one, I guess just being empathetic. Yeah. I mean, how the holiday season is all about putting yourself in other people's shoes and being thankful, and also, you know, being thankful that you're on the other end of that and you can offer help
right.
in whatever way you can. Another tip that's not from me. It's from a co-host of The View, which I watch every day.
That's a great show.
Why not?
Yeah.
Her name's Sunny Hostin, in case you're wondering.
Oh, okay,
one.
Cool. She's cool.
So she says that at her Thanksgiving, she has a room for the messy people who want to talk politics and want to get into it. So maybe that's a strategy people can employ, because some people do want to bring things up and stir the pot. Maybe there's a room for them. And then everyone else can just have margaritas in the kitchen.
I'm wondering if the president has been checked for Parkinson's yet, because
I don't know.
A lot of awful things on a regular basis.
That's a good question, Amy. Amy Dickinson, any suggestions for people who, as you heard from Janice, or perhaps in what Amy Miller was just saying about people being checked after saying bad things?
You know, I actually am so glad Janice called, because it's important to remember that the holidays are times when people get together, and it's one of the few times a year you see some of your older relatives, and it's stressful, and things are going to flare. So I just think it's a very thoughtful thing to sort of be aware, and I agree, react with real empathy and kindness, and yeah.
Amy Dickinson, Amy Miller, Emmanuel Hapsis, 866-733-6786. For the callers who are listening, we will get to you after this break. Stay with us, your awkward family moments. You're listening to Forum. I'm John Sepulveda, in for Michael Krasny. A little bit of family 911 on this hour of Forum. We're talking about those awkward moments, those embarrassing moments, those things we're trying to avoid with a group of very, very funny panelists. This next question is going to be for Amy Miller, who is the comedian and host of Who's Your God podcast. And it comes from Aaron, who joins us on the line. Aaron, it sounds like you got some loud talkers at your Thanksgiving table. Tell us about this.
Yes. First of all, thank you so much for this program. I really, it's good to be able to laugh about these things. So tomorrow we go out to Thanksgiving with my wife's cousins from a different culture. They speak a different language than I do. The wife, they're sweet people, but the wife talks so loud, and she's always talking about herself and how great she is, and it drives me crazy.
Amy Miller, what do you suggest to Aaron over here?
Oh, this is funny. I mean, I'm from a family of pretty loud talkers, not only face-to-face, but you know, people who scream across a house to get your attention instead of walking into the room. I mean, I would probably just try to speak as quietly as possible and hope that she mimics me until at which point I'm just basically whispering. And even if she doesn't take the hint, it's really funny for everybody else.
Amy Dickinson, what would you suggest to Aaron here with this loud talker who seems to be really into herself?
I actually love Amy's suggestion because, you know what, it really does work when you're dealing with volume if you just go quiet. Yeah. But that's a case where, depending on who's hosting the meal, if that's a great time to think about playing a word game or going around the table or doing conversation prompts, you know, as a way to sort of divert attention away from one person. It's really tough when one person is like that. I know. It's a drag.
Emmanuel, Hapsis, any suggestion?
Going off of the games idea, mm-hmm. you could say, let's play charades. And then there's always the type A person who's like, oh, I want to mimic the clues or whatever. That person has to be quiet. So she'll take the bait.
Using it against themselves, Aaron.
Sabotage.
Yeah, use that ego. Make her quiet. We're going to go down to... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I sort of like a loud talker who won't stop talking about herself at dinners like that, because then you get to take a little mental vacation and you can just completely check out. And that's what I like to do at family gatherings, just put the heat on somebody else, you know?
We're going to go to Gabriel and Tracy. Gabriel, tell us a little bit about your experience on Thanksgiving.
Well, for Hispanics, Thanksgiving is not something that we normally do, and it usually comes from school. As you grow up, you know, at school, the teacher, you know, makes you draw turkeys, and then they have those little nice pictures of Thanksgiving and everything. So the kids, when they go home, they want the family to celebrate Thanksgiving. And it's always something that nobody knows what to do. So, you know, they start making the turkey or the pie, there's always... the kids are always the ones that supposedly know what to do, but it's always awkward. Somebody has to study. We're trying to make it like it's supposed to be, but it's always chaos.
That's a really good point, Gabriel. For people who might not celebrate Thanksgiving, I remember for a while I lived overseas, they didn't celebrate Thanksgiving. I at the time had Facebook. I would see all these people, you know, celebrating Thanksgiving, and it's not something that you have to celebrate. What are some alternatives for people who just want to skip it altogether, who might not actually have a tradition of this holiday? Amy Dickinson, anything you've ever done besides celebrate Thanksgiving or even Christmas maybe?
Yeah, I'm doing it tomorrow, actually. I'm flying down to Florida. I have a Dominican – one of my daughters is Dominican, and all of her in-laws are Dominican, and we are going to have a Dominican feast. And this, I love this question because this is exactly where my relatives fall. They like want to do it, but they don't get it,
right.
And their food is great, and so they just have their own kind of feast, and it's really wonderful.
866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Amy, I hope you get there safe. I hope you fill up on Dominican food. That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
We're going to go down to Mary. This is a comment she says. She says, eating at a table with my sister-in-law, who likes to play the cool aunt, is the toughest thing. I found out she bought alcohol for my underage kids. I want to totally end her, but because of quote-unquote family, I must keep my calm. I am so tempted to grind up glass and put it in the gross Waldorf salad she makes that no one eats but her. Mary seems to have a lot of really strong feelings about this, Amy Miller.
As the cool aunt, I cannot be on Mary's side. I think bringing a salad that only you eat is brilliant because then you get all of it and nobody wants any. And I don't know. I mean, I need to hear more information about how old this kid was. You know, what are we talking, 19? That's fine. He can have a drink. It's no big deal.
What about 16? I mean, that was one of the things that I often saw was like I had an older person in my life who would come, my grandma, would come and like, you know, give me a bottle of something. She grew up in Scotland when I was 15, 16. What is the age that we can start giving kids alcohol without their parents' consent? The answer is never, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's definitely always a good idea to get the parents' consent. There are some limits, you know. There's definitely a family gathering in my life where I'm pretty sure someone gave my brother PCP when he was a teenager and half a bottle of wine. He's listening right now. I think it was PCP. Might have been angel dust. Are those different?
No, they're not different. The wine was that to balance it. I mean, that.
I have no idea. I think that just no one was paying attention. But I think, you know, if it's a holiday, you have parental consent and you're like, hey, can I give your son some PCP? Then that's just courteous.
All right, let's just reset for a second. First of all, don't put glass in anyone's salad. let's just keep the PCP out of it. Like, let's go for a lower grade high, I guess. Emmanuel Hapsis, what would you suggest as far as people trying to play the role of the cool aunt or uncle?
I mean, you can be cool without drugging people. that's just me. But also, I don't know if this is right to say, but growing up in an immigrant family, there was booze for not children, but like we were like, I don't know, 13 or something, right, having a sip of something.
Right.
And I turned out great.
Yeah.
Just saying.
No, you did. You really did turn out great. 866-733-6786 if you want advice on how to not drug your family. 866-733-6786. Also, you can email us your questions, forum@kqed.org. This is a little bit more on the serious side. Olivia tweets, can you please address people who haven't yet come out to their family? She is 28 years old, and she still hasn't directly told her father due to the fear of rejection based on his beliefs as a Jehovah's Witness. And she knows that her experience is not unique. First of all, Olivia, I wish you the best Thanksgiving. I hope you have a loving, wonderful Thanksgiving. Emmanuel Hapsis, I'm going to turn to you. You were mentioning earlier that your dad's a very conservative dude.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us any advice you might be able to give to Olivia.
I wish I could say, you know, when you do come out, it'll get better. And, you know,
but it doesn't often right away.
Right. Yeah. So with my particular situation, my dad ignores me and ignores my partner usually, unless I switch it around and say, you remember so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And then it's put on him to be outwardly rude instead of passive aggressive. And then he'll say hi or something. But I would say that not to feel bad about removing yourself if that's what you need to do to protect yourself. There were many years where I moved across the country. I created my own family. You find your chosen family and people who won't make you feel bad about who you are. And when your parent or whoever the relative is comes around, then you can have the conversation. But until then, it's fine to protect yourself.
And I think that really brings up a good point, Emmanuel, about Olivia, is that it's not, there might not be that instant gratification of acceptance. There might be a long time, but not just with this decision to acknowledge who they are to someone who might not approve. Amy Dickinson, we know that there are many decisions people might make, and it's going to take time, in some cases years, for things to kind of get back to a equilibrium that existed before.
Yeah, and actually I responded to Olivia on Twitter and I said two things to her that she should come out only during a time when she has a clear and calm exit strategy and loving friendship support on the other end. In short, not Thanksgiving. She was laughing at that. I also offered to go with her next year because I think that the day after Thanksgiving might be a better time to reveal, confront, whatever, because then people have a whole year to get on board.
That's a really...
Yeah,
that's a great point, Amy. Yeah.
Yeah,
the timing matters.
Timing matters a lot. And some people, they feel very boxed in, you know, when they are in front of other family members. And some of us choose... I've done it. Some of us choose to make big life announcements at the Thanksgiving table, and I believe our thinking is that, oh, there's safety in numbers, when actually I think sometimes, especially parents, feel insulted when you reveal something big in front of an extended family.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they feel like they needed to know that first. So,
and Emmanuel, you don't have to answer this question, but how did timing factor in your decision to tell your father about your orientation?
In terms of timing, I thought I cracked the case of how to come out and come out of it unscathed. Mm-hmm. So I decided to come out on my birthday when he was visiting me here in San Francisco. So I was on my home turf. Mm-hmm. And surely a birthday is the day that you have the most goodwill towards a person.
Yeah, you have the most leverage.
Yeah. So I was like, there's no way this goes left. And I'll take him to a brewery. He likes beer. Let's just say it didn't work out like that. Mm. But yeah, like Amy said, make sure that you have an exit, mm-hmm. have some backup support, and you're on your home turf. And yeah.
And Olivia, if you're listening, I want to make it clear that you have every right to be yourself and experience life the way you want to. So, you know, take that and be brave. Susan from Novato is joining us on the line. Susan, you have a question about Thanksgiving. You're a former chef.
Yeah, it's not a question, actually.
Okay.
I'm a former chef. I'm an artist. I am out to my family, but it's just not very comfortable, with the exception of around my dad. And so I don't do Thanksgiving. But what I do, in the spirit of inclusivity and to make other people's holidays a little bit less stressful, is I head over to Berkeley Bowl. And I help desperate people find ingredients that they've never used before and make substitutions for things and come up with ideas when their favorite ingredient is nowhere to be found, and try and just really be joyful in that and hope that other people's experiences are eased by it.
Susan, thanks for sharing that. Amy Miller, I want to go to you because you're actually on the road, if I understand correctly.
Yeah.
You are a comedian. You're on the road a lot. What are some of the things you do when you can't be with your family for the holidays?
Well, I just want to say first that she's providing a great service, because even when she said Berkeley Bowl before Thanksgiving, I had a small panic attack. So the more help people can get inside that place, the better. So good on you. For me, I mean, interesting you ask. I am on the road right now. I'm going to spend Thanksgiving with my boyfriend's family. But I just want anyone listening who's like not sure if they should go hang out with their family or what. You are fully within your rights to spend a day off alone. Okay, you work hard. We've been given this free day off. See a movie, be by yourself, take naps. Like, you're totally allowed to do that. And yeah, I mean, if I wasn't with another family tomorrow, I'm sure that I would be doing that. And I mean, people shouldn't feel pressured to hang out with their family. You know, you can save it for another day. There's so much pressure around the holidays. Just take a nap. That's my advice to everybody for everything. Just take a nap.
Julia says that she, and this is a little bit, again, more serious, but something in a way that we all can relate to. Julia says that she lives in a van. She's disabled, but she's the oldest sister. And her siblings essentially can't accept this, quote unquote, descent in her life. And it turns into this, why can't you do this? And why can't you do that? And this is how you should fix yourself. We might not have the specific advice for Julia's situation, but I think all of us have lived with that. It's part of the human condition. Amy Dickinson, what is your advice for people who are essentially having their lives, quote unquote, fixed by their siblings?
Okay. You make eye contact and you say, hey, I know you really care about me. That's it. You don't have to engage. You don't have to. I mean, there's nothing worse than unsolicited advice. It is always self-serving. And I think it's really important for people to remember that when people offer a lot of, you know, lifestyle advice, a lot of times they are sort of expressing their own anxiety. So her siblings are very worried about her, and so they want her to fix it for them, you know? So to just say, hey, I know you really care. That's it.
Emmanuel, any advice for somebody trying to fix your life while you're eating the turkey?
Well, my knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, I have some notes about your life, too. And if I wanted my life fixed, I would seek out Ian LaVincent, because she has Oprah's approval. But also, you could just say, you know what? I respect your opinion, but I'm happy, and that should be what you want for me. Mm. And just know that I am happy, and you don't need to worry.
Amy Miller, anyone trying to fix your life in your family?
Oh, Sure. Well, I'm the youngest of a lot of kids, so it pains me to say this, but as annoying as it can be, occasionally they are right. But it, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter. It is all about timing, and sometimes you cannot accept their advice in that moment, but I like to believe that it comes from a place of love. And yeah, I mean, of course, as Emmanuel said, like any opportunity to deflect and insult something about their life is truly helpful, even if years later I realize that they were totally right.
Renee writes in that we have a hard political divide in our family. We program our gatherings to the minute, Pictionary, walnut rolling, conversation cards. It's a lot of work, but it is worth it. She also finds it very exhausting. Amy Dickinson, that's, of course, something that you suggested, and in variations, of course, our other panelists. I want to bring another voice into this mix, Nathan Brannon, who is, I think, also, along with Amy Miller, one of the funniest comedians. He's going to join us on the line. Nathan, are you there?
Hi.
It's good to talk.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I'm tearing up, man. I didn't know there was going to be an intro like that.
Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Amy.
That's Amy Miller and Nathan Brannon. It's good to talk to you again, brother. Nathan, tell us a little bit about what your experience is during the holidays, because, of course, as you very publicly have noted in your comedy, you are in an interracial marriage, and there are a lot of race issues during the holidays.
Yeah, I actually, I run a podcast about it, and we just put out an episode dealing with that exact situation. I know it's hard for a lot of people out during the holidays, but especially when you bring extended family into an interracial relationship, and they don't get much interaction, you know, the majority of the year, and now you're stuck in a room eating some food that you may or may not know who cooked. In front of everybody, it can be a tough situation. With myself, I lucked out. My family's on both sides are really great and things, but even with that, there's still a lot to learn about. You know, my wife's family is Norwegian, and there's a ton of stuff I've never even thought about. Like, I didn't know Norwegians love butter more than black people. I had no idea. It's insane. Like, it's not even comparable how much more Norwegians love butter compared to black people. So, like, we had our first Thanksgiving together. Like, I went with her family, and they were cooking all their, like traditional Norwegian dishes. And they called for a ton of butter. But in my head, I was like, oh, they're trying so hard to impress me. They think I love butter. And they're putting it in everything. Oh, you soak these potatoes in butter. Oh, this cookie is from Norway. It's more butter than it is cookie. And I was like, gosh, you don't have to do this. They were so confused. And then I got confused. And then my wife had to pull me aside and explain, like, these are traditional Norwegian dishes, Nathan. Stop.
It sounds like it sounds like a perfect match, actually. Let me know if your wife has a sister. Let's go to Hina in Cupertino, mainly because she has an issue kind of culturally as well, and we want to give Nathan Brannon a chance to answer her concern. Hina in Cupertino, rather. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Thank you. I'm Hima Kundargi from Cupertino, and I'm from India. So when I first came to U.S., I just sat around doing nothing for Thanksgiving. Then my children arrived on the picture, and they didn't want not to have a turkey. But here, my Indian background, I wanted everything spiced. I could not take food which was not flavorful. So what did I do? I created a Thanksgiving feast infused with all the spices and herbs that I'm accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
For example, cranberry became a cranberry chutney with a lot of spices.
That sounds delicious.
Then sweet potato was garnished with cardamom. Then the rub for the turkey had the tandoori masala. Then potatoes were laced with cumin-scented oil. So I think in the bargain, we created our own little Thanksgiving tradition, which pleased us, me and my husband, who are from India, and my children, who are born and raised here, who wanted the traditional Thanksgiving feast. So I think this is what I did, but I'm not sure what people do when you're blending in two cultures for Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Well, Hina, thank you so much. I wish you and your family a great Thanksgiving. Nathan, let's talk about this because you talk about this on your podcast, The Hamster Village, this blending of cultures. What are some of the ways that you hear traditions being blended by folks who are creating a family out of two different cultures?
Yeah. That's a great idea for interracial couples and families just in general. I've had a ton of suggestions, especially around this time of year with Christmas being such a dominant holiday and different holidays, even with my own family, like we celebrate Kwanzaa as well, and things like that. There's no problem with like mixing it, putting your own kind of spin on it. I think a lot of interracial families, it's in their best interest to do that, to put your own kind of spin on it, because especially if you have kids, you want those kids to not only just experience the holidays and the traditions that you grew up with, but internalize them, you know, mm-hmm. like know why you're doing sort different things, like with the spices that she used. I'm sure the children learn more about where the spices come from and why they're used in a certain way and how to prepare them. And a lot of that stuff can get lost if you let certain traditions kind of dominate other ones. So right. finding that perfect balance that works for your family is a great idea. On our recent episode that we did, that was a big suggestion from a lot of people, were if you are going to, say, an in-law's house and there's two different family backgrounds there, to try and mix it up with Thanksgiving, have someone make, or have one side make the entree, like the main dish, the turkey and things like that, and then have the other side bring traditional dishes for the sides and things as well, kind of explaining
yeah.
where those sides came from, stuff like that. So it's kind of like a passive journey into
a cultural exchange, almost, is what it sounds like. And of course, though, in your family, it sounds like everyone's burying the dishes in butter. Amy Dickinson, you were talking about you're going to have a Dominican feast and celebration with your Dominican daughter in Florida. How's that different than the quote-unquote traditional U.S. Thanksgiving?
Much spicier, much, you know, there will be like beans and rice and lots of beef, and we'll probably grill outside. You know, in terms of food, I love this idea of mixing things up. And the fad of deep frying the turkey, I think, has really brought a lot to the feast, because this is a job that lots of guys tend to get behind, and it either ends in a delicious turkey or in a fireball in the driveway. So either way,
it's entertaining.
Everybody wins.
Yeah, and
yes.
What is so masculine about deep frying a turkey? I don't get that part. We're going to go to DeAndre, because of course not everyone celebrates Thanksgiving, and of course for many people there's a reason not to. DeAndre, you're one of those people. Tell us why.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, after among other things, reading Howard Zinn's The True History of
the People's the History.
States.
Yeah,
People's History. And realizing, or being told and documenting, that the first Thanksgiving was actually celebrated to celebrate the massacre of the Pequot Indians by the colonists.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to separate Thanksgiving from that history. So what I've been doing for the last 45, almost 50 years, is going to Alcatraz on Thanksgiving morning sunrise ceremony put on by Native Americans and other people from all over the world, which is kind of it's a whole different way to celebrate what they call un-Thanksgiving. I was just wondering if anybody there has ever gone to Alcatraz.
Well, I don't know if folks have gone to Alcatraz. First of all, DeAndre, thank you so much for sharing that perspective. And we'll start with Nathan Brandon and then go to Emmanuel Hapsis. Nathan, this is a way a lot of people of color feel in various ways, that Thanksgiving, it's an emerging opinion that Thanksgiving has this kind of colonial colonizer legacy on it. What suggestions would you give to people who are either struggling or thinking of not celebrating this particular holiday?
Well, I think it kind of goes back to the kind of putting your own stamp on the holiday. I think with a lot of us, especially these days, things like Thanksgiving and Christmas and stuff like that, it's more focused on our own personal memories, right? Like how we spend it with the people closest to us. So I think that's a great way to kind of promote what you're hoping to promote, right? Like, so if you are not wanting to promote that kind of past and give to highlight the groups that you would like to highlight, like going to Alcatraz, it's perfect to acknowledge that and make this holiday your own.
Well, we have exactly 15 seconds for each of our panelists to tell us what they're doing for tomorrow because we are almost out of time. We're going to start with Emmanuel Hapsis, who hosts The Cooler. Emmanuel.
I'm just going to get real drunk.
With that, we're going to go to Amy Miller. Amy, what are you going to do?
I'm going to be a guest star in a family, which is the best position to be in.
I wish you both a great Thanksgiving. Amy Dickinson, what are you going to do? We know you're going to Florida. What are you looking forward to?
Well, it's an opportunity for me to just sit and be a guest, which is something I don't do often enough. And I'm really, really excited.
And Nathan Brannon, tell us, what are you going to be doing? Where are you going to be this Thanksgiving?
I'm going to be with my family and my wife's family. I got the honor of making the stuffing, so I'm going to go buy some sticks of butter right now. Get on it.
I want to thank everyone so much for their calls. Emmanuel, Amy, and Nathan. I will have links up to all of their work. Go, if they're record labels, go buy their record. If they have comedy albums, go buy their comedy albums. Download the Cooler. Of course, listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I am very thankful for Christina Kim and Amanda Stupai for getting me through this hour. And of course, Danny Bringer. I hope you have a great and safe Thanksgiving.